Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
Talking Raptors, D-League confirmation, and a few words from Chandler Parsons. All of that on Wednesday's edition of Locked On Grizzlies.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hi, everybody. Welcome in Locked On Grizzlies. My name is Peter Edmiston. On this Wednesday, happy to be with you. Thank you so much for downloading the podcast and for checking it out. If it's your first time, then thank you. If it's your 75th time because you're a longtime subscriber, then God love you. I love you. Thank you so much for all of that. If you are asking, I'm feeling a little bit better. Thank you for all the cards. Just inundated with cards and letters and emails of support and wishing me well. And I can't thank you guys enough for, I didn't even get one card. Not even a Twitter message. Hey, man, hope you feel better. Nothing. Even my own family. Nothing. Tough. It's a tough gig. So, I am feeling better. Hopefully I sound a little bit better. Still got a little sinus thing working, but we're going to try to fight through it as best we can. As we talk about a big matchup tonight, very important game for the Grizzlies as the final road game, or final home game, rather, before they head off on that massive six-game road trip, and it's a home game against a team that is not playing well, a team that actually has a lot of similarities to the Grizzlies over on the Eastern Conference side, the Raptors. Very interesting matchup, and we'll talk about it in the 3Q preview coming up. Also, a few bits of news from today, including the Grizzlies confirming what everybody already knew in a press conference that I don't even know that it really needed to happen, but it was there, and it was interesting, I suppose, to those that showed up, confirming the acquisition of a D-League team and the beginning of the new D-League Grizzlies, whoever they will be, whatever the team name will be, down in South Haven for the upcoming D-League season. That was the whole press conference. We already knew all that. Didn't announce a name or anything. Maybe that's coming. Hope so. The Grit City Grinders. Grind City Gritters. Grit Grinders. I don't know. Probably just going to go with like the South Haven Grizzlies. Womp, womp. I hope it's better than that. Somebody said the Memphis Grit, the Memphis Grind. That makes some sense. The Mississippi Grit, the Mississippi Grind. Are they going to go Mississippi or are they going to go Memphis? Going to go Grind City? Going to go Mid-South? What are they going to do? So we didn't find out any of those answers. All we found out was that they're going to have a D-League team, and they signed a multi-year contract. They wouldn't even confirm how long that contract was. So very little actual information coming out of that event today down at FedEx Forum. In the wake of the press conference, I put up a Twitter poll just kind of wanting to hear from all of you guys about how often you would actually go to these games. I think it's one of those things that, like, it sounds good in theory as far as, like, being a fan. Now, it's great for the organization. The organization, we talked about it yesterday. It's perfect for the organization. You have, all these guys are going to be working out in that facility right there at FedEx Forum. So they're the Grizzlies practice facility. There will be easy access for scouting, for, sending guys up, down, all that stuff. It's incredibly simple. It makes things very streamlined. It is a win-win times 1,000 for the organization. Now, as far as the fans go, are you actually going to go to these games? Is it going to matter at all in terms of the fan base? Does that even matter for the D-League? I'm not so sure that it really does. I'm not sure that's really the purpose of the D-League. But I put up a Twitter poll to figure out how many folks or what your level of support would be. And I asked, are you going to go? How many games are you going to go to? My choices were, season tickets, baby. Maybe one or two games, or not a chance in hell. And the results were 70% say maybe once or twice I'll go down there. 22% said not a chance in hell. And 8% plan on getting season tickets, baby. I would expect that the folks in North Mississippi will go. I don't know about the Grizzly fans. I mean, I think if you ever watch a D-League game, like if you're scouting, it's interesting. And if you're following college players really closely, it's interesting, I guess. Like if you're a fan of a certain player or something, maybe. But the games themselves are not especially exciting generally. You know, minor league sports being what they are, you know, the results aren't as important on a team level as they are just on individual performances. So that kind of takes some of the sting out of it. It's like going to a, you know, a Redbirds game. If you're from Memphis or wherever you happen to be listening, a minor league baseball game or something like that. I mean, that's always, the experience is interesting because you're going and, you know, like it's out, you're outside and you're watching baseball and you're drinking a beer or whatever, eating ice cream out of a little batting helmet. That's great. Who doesn't love that? But you're not going to, like, be a hardcore fan of the team, I'm guessing. You're not going to be like, oh, I can't wait for my minor league team to win. I don't think that anyone really cares too much about that. So I don't know that anyone's going to go to these games. I also think that, and folks inform me, and I have not been down to that facility in a while, the Landers Center down in South Haven, but I got a lot of responses from people who said the parking, and particularly the access getting in and out of the lot, was really tough. And when more than a few thousand folks are down there, which I don't know that's going to be a problem for the team, but when there's a lot of people that go down there, that it really gets to be a difficult thing. I have no idea. But that is something that I passed along to the Landers Center people. So hopefully that they and the Highway Patrol or the Sheriff's Department or whoever is doing traffic access can get that squared away. That is something that if you're on the fence about going to a D-League game to begin with, you definitely don't want to deal with some, you know, pain-in-the-ass parking situation. I hope they get that resolved. I have passed it along to them as best I can. So now next step, let's get a name for this team, and let's go from there. I'm interested to see it. I'm fascinated by it. I don't know that it's going to be a huge fan success or anything. I think it's going to be a very big success, though, for the team, and that's ultimately the most important thing in any kind of D-League consideration. I mentioned that Brandon Wright came back to practice yesterday. He is listed on the injury report that came out today. He is listed as still out, so he will not play tonight at FedEx Forum, but I still expect that his comeback is relatively soon. Also, Troy Daniels will not play as he continues to recover from that MCL sprain that he suffered on Friday night against the Sacramento Kings. A guy that will play is Chandler Parsons. He will continue his very, very, very deliberate recovery from a knee injury. And I had a chance to talk to Chandler on practice Monday and sat down with him for a few minutes to discuss it. And I'll play you a little snippet of it. Unfortunately, the proximity, my mic was somehow, we were closer than I thought to a bunch of like basketballs bouncing and people talking and, you know, practicing and stuff. I didn't think it would pick up, but it picked up like in a crazy way, some really unusually loud way. So I've tried to kind of edit some of the sound as best I can. Some of it, it didn't really come through to, like, you could, I could play it for you, but you would have a very hard time. You're probably gonna have a hard enough time hearing what I am gonna play for you, but I edited enough to, I think you can probably get the general feel for it. The other stuff is just, it's just a little bit too loud, but I'll give you what Chandler said. I had asked him a lot about his comeback and about minutes and, you know, the specifics of his minutes, because it's been such a consistent thing. He starts with the starting unit. He plays his 8 or 9 minutes at most. Then he goes out. He plays, you know, whatever the remainder is, 6-7 in the second quarter. Then he plays whatever he has left on his restriction, whether if it's an 18-minute restriction, he plays 3 minutes. If it's 21, he'll play 6 minutes. Whatever's left, he'll play in the second half and go out in the third quarter, and that'll be it. He said that's getting frustrating. He's really, in his words, pissed off that he can't play in fourth quarters. That it's becoming very frustrating for him. But he just said that's the way that it has to be. He did mention, and I asked him if he had talked about switching his minutes around. He said he has. He said he actually went to Fizdale and offered to switch his minutes around so that he could play in fourth quarters and he could come off the bench. But he said that Fizdale preferred to keep him with that starting unit. I think the discussion that they've had probably some pretty candid and I would say, let's say, vibrant discussions about how these minutes are going to go, because it's a tough thing. It's frustrating for him. I would imagine that, you know, considering that he feels physically fine, the fact that he continues to get restricted and he's not able to play, he's not able to get his rhythm, he's not able to get, you know, going, the team doesn't play with him, so they're not able to get the chemistry going. All that stuff is really frustrating, and he's taking a lot of, you know, he's taking a lot of flack. I mean, the guy's a max player, and he is not putting up anything close to max stats. You know, certainly not his raw numbers, his advanced numbers, percentages, you name it. None of it is good. And a lot of it just has to do with the fact that he's not able to play to any major level. So maybe if he gets a full complement of minutes, maybe that would change. I don't know. But it's frustrating for him, and he said that many, many times in the interim, the fact that he has to wait. So I did ask him, and what you will hear, it'll start with his discussion about the defensive side of it and how difficult it is to get the chemistry when you've got to, you know, be able to play on a string and you're not out there that much, and you're out there in different units and all that stuff. So how difficult that is, and then you'll hear me ask him about the plans after the All-Star break for his minutes. So again, apologies for the quality of the sound. I hope you'll be able to at least hear this part of it. The other part, I didn't think you'd have much of a chance to hear.
The more I play, the more comfortable we get. The more we understand each other's habits, the more we'll be locked into there. I'll know what Tony's going to do on a pin down. I'll know what Jay Mike, I know when he's going to switch with me to the same size. Things like that you'll just pick up and grow with, but we definitely got to pay more attention to detail every single game and just know our coverage is going in, so then it takes out all the confusion.
Do you hope, like, by after All-Star break, maybe bump up to closer to a full complement, or is that they told you a long term kind of?
Yeah, that's the plan. I think obviously it goes day by day based off how I feel. If I felt awful today, I'm sure I wouldn't play the same amount of minutes I did against Houston. But I think after All-Star break is when I hope to start playing back to backs and up my minutes closer to normal time.
So, in case you missed that last part, and you probably did because the sound quality was terrible, again, my apologies. He said after All-Star break, they are hoping he'll play in back to backs and be close to a full complement of minutes. His goal is to be good to go by the playoffs. And, I mean, I think that's a reasonable goal. If he's not good to go by the playoffs, then, geez, that's the slowest recovery in history. And you wonder when he would ever be able to go. So that's the goal. That's the goal long term. And he was in good spirits, as the rest of the guys were at practice on Monday. But you can tell it is getting to him a little bit, the frustration, the fact that it's taken so long and he's still nowhere near a full complement of minutes, fully in the rotation, all that stuff. He's not there yet. You could tell it's weighing on him. It's weighing on everybody. It's an albatross around the necks of the Grizzlies right now, because you can't get your rotation set when you have a max guy, a key guy, a guy that you're counting on, and you have to play him, and Fizdale wants to see him with the starters. You have to put him there, but then you can't play him the full game in normal minutes for, you know, normal minutes package, so then you have to kind of move everything else around. It just makes it tough. Makes it tough. So that is something that the Grizzlies will have to resolve, and if they can get it resolved after the All-Star break, I would imagine that will help everything fall into place and be a little easier. All right, time now for a 3Q preview of tonight's matchup with the Toronto Raptors. Question number one, who is scuffling worse? And you may think, well, the Grizzlies are really struggling. Good team playing badly with some bad losses and haven't looked like themselves. Bad defense. Yeah, that's true. Guess what? It's exactly the same in Toronto and maybe worse. I mean, the Grizzlies are 4-6 in the month of January. That's true. They have allowed over 100 points to their opponent in 8 of their last 10 ball games. Two of the wins were the only ones that they've been able to hold teams under 100, the Kings and the Jazz. But look at the Raptors and what they've done. 6-7 in the month of January. They've lost 4 straight, including last night at home to San Antonio. This was San Antonio on the second night of a back-to-back. San Antonio without Kawhi Leonard for that matchup, without Pau Gasol, long-term injury, without Tony Parker, who is getting an MRI done back in San Antonio. They lost that game. They lost at Philly to start this losing streak. And Philly is playing remarkably well. They've won 8 of 10, including, again, last night. But they lost at Philly, then followed that up by losing at Charlotte by 35, then came back home and you think they're playing Phoenix. Phoenix is not a very good team. You'd think that they want to respond to that 35-point drubbing. No, they lost by double digits to Phoenix at home and then lost to San Antonio. Now, they've allowed over 100 points in 9 of their last 10 ball games, and they're without DeMar DeRozan for tonight's matchup. And they're coming off of the second night of a back-to-back, having to travel from Toronto to Memphis. So there's no reason the Grizzlies can't win this game. Plus, they're getting Patrick Patterson back from injury, but he's on minutes restriction. Damari Carroll is playing badly for them, and in fact, only played 15 minutes in the game last night against San Antonio, as he's not, you know, meshing well with Dwayne Casey at the moment. So the entire Toronto team is really in a bad place right now, and this is a great opportunity for the Grizzlies to finish up before this road trip and get a big win. So, to answer the question, who's scuffling worse? It's Toronto. Toronto's definitely scuffling worse. This is a good opportunity for the Grizzlies to find one of the few teams in the league playing worse than they are at the moment, and let's see if they can take advantage of it tonight. Question number two, what's with Jermichael Green? He sort of slipped under the radar because of all the discussions about all the other players. Understandably so, there have been a lot of players to discuss, a lot of reasons to discuss them. But Jermichael Green, who really was a great story in this season and had a wonderful stretch of games kind of between middle of November all the way through December or so, where he played fantastic defense and improved his offense a little bit, but really he was defending at an extremely high level. Most of those without Mike Conley, dealing with all the other injuries and all that stuff. Since everyone's come back, he has lost a lot defensively. His defensive rating over the last 5 games is up over 110, which is understandable because the Grizzlies themselves are about 108, but he's even worse than that team number. And it's been steadily rising over the last 20 ball games or so for Jermichael Green. And so now his net rating went from middle of the season, let's say. So take the last 20 games out of it and look at the first 25 or so. His net rating was quite good. He was a positive for the team, +3, +4 in that neighborhood. He's now in the minus category. He just trended under the minus mark for the season. In the last 5, he's a -9.2. In the last 10, he's a -6.5 for the Grizzlies. So, he's been a really interesting, versatile guy, and his ability to play and defend multiple positions, to get out and do all those things, defending all the way to the 3-point line, getting after it on the boards. Those are things that have been really beneficial for the Grizzlies, but he got burned badly in the Houston game, and it seems like teams are starting to figure out that he is certainly foul prone, he overhelps, that his offense is solid, but as he's out there with so many guys now, especially with Mark, Mike, Chandler, Parsons, he's just not, he doesn't get shots. He gets very few shots. He's averaging about 6 in the last 10 ball games or so, and is actually, his percentages are good because most of the shots he's getting are good. He's not being able to really bring enough to the table on that end to counterbalance the poor defensive play. So keep an eye on Jermichael Green. I think he's starting to, wear out his welcome a little bit. I don't know that it would be beneficial for the Grizzlies, and I don't think it's even considered that Zach Randolph would be put back in the starting lineup, but Zach has been playing better in general. His offensive struggles over the last few games notwithstanding, he's been playing better, he's been finishing games, and Jermichael, what he's bringing to the table right now is a bit up in the air. So, what's with Jermichael Green? Don't know, but he's got to get it resolved, because he was really valuable for the Grizzlies in the first 30 or so games, but his struggles have coincided with theirs, and it's not great. Number 3, can the Grizzlies take advantage of a great opportunity prior to this road trip? And I say that because if you look around the rest of the league, even though the Grizzlies have struggled, they mentioned that the Raptors have struggled too, everyone's struggling. Everyone's struggling right now. You know, there are very few teams that are really getting it done on a consistent basis. And if you look last night, guess what? I mentioned the Sixers won. They beat the Clippers. And the Clippers trying to work Blake Griffin back into the mix now. But they don't have Chris Paul. So, you know, without Chris Paul, it's brutal for them. And they're going to struggle, as I mentioned. The Utah Jazz lose to the Nuggets. So, you know, those are teams, again, they've not been able to pull away. Even though the Grizzlies have been up and down, they're still right there in the race for that fourth spot, which is the interesting thing about the season. You know, you're not going to get any higher than fourth, no matter what you do. You're not going to go any lower than seventh, barring like some cataclysmic situation, injury, or you just completely go off the rails. But it's very, very unlikely. So you're really just figuring out where you're going to go between four and seven. Four is right there. It's there for the taking. So even taking into account all the issues and all the squabbles and blah, 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 whatever, that's all still there for them. That's all still that they don't need to get all bent out of shape and worried and freaking out. It's all still very much there. The potential for hosting a first-round playoff series is very real. You just got to keep grinding, so to speak, and you got to win some games. Forget about all this other stuff. Just go win some games. See if they can do it tonight. Thanks so much for joining me here on Locked On Grizzlies. As always, you can check me out 7 to 10, Wolo and Peter in the morning, Real Sports Talk, Sports 56, 87.7 FM. Check out Numbers Game in the commercial appeal. And you can check us out on Facebook as well. Search for Locked On Grizzlies or go to facebook.com/LockedOnGrizzlies. For those of you, of course, that are big fans of the podcast, let me tell you something. This is a great spot for your company. If you want to reach men between the ages of 18 and 54, this is the place for your audiences. And here's something to consider. Recent surveys have shown that podcast listeners are 65% more willing to think seriously about purchasing products they learned about from podcasts. 60%, given equal price and quality, prefer to purchase from companies that advertise on their favorite podcasts. Our rates are very reasonable. Please shoot me an email, peter@peteredmiston.com. Shoot me a tweet @peteredmiston or a direct message, something like that. We can get all the information out to you. I'd love to have you on the podcast, become part of our family, and reach all those great folks out there that are listening. Thank you so much. You have been Locked On Grizzlies.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily podcast on the Memphis Grizzlies, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Rush into Old Navy today for up to 50% off store-wide. Get dresses from $15 for women, $12 for girls, plus up to 75% off clearance for the whole family right now at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Valid 10/16 to 10/20, select styles only.